It is Susie from MERP, and I'm here with Brian from Shadows Fall. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
I've seen you quite a few times live, and I was doing some research for the questions, and what was so funny to me is the fact that you whip people with your hair. Susanna and I, my partner with MERP, we were in the front row one time and we had to move backwards.
Yeah, they can be a little deadly. I had to take any beads or like I used to have some metal rings in there and like they were just chipping people's teeth. They were like, you know, giving black eyes. Iron Mike, one of the photographers here, he has a great sequence of the dread tornado where I'm on stage first swinging, then the hair is literally in his camera and then I'm over him on the other side of the crowd, you know, and he's just like, I literally went through a dreadlock tornado.
That is awesome.
Yeah, the other thing is that now they're so long they get stuck in like the lights above and like everywhere it's a mess.
I would think like guitar players.
The tuning pegs. There used to be one that had kind of like a loop in it and it would literally get stuck on it, you know, and I'm just like tug of warring with the guitar player. So
So last night you got on stage with Soil. How was that?
Oh, it was a blast. I've known those guys for, you know, a decade and a half at least, if not longer, and it's always fun to kind of jam with your friends, and especially at an event like this, it is all about bringing different people together and having those kind of one-of-a-kind things happen. So it was a lot of fun.
Was there anybody here at HeadbangersCon that you hadn't met before?
Yeah, there's a few people. And then other guys who I've maybe met in passing but hadn't had a chance to really sit down and talk to. So that's like, again, another cool thing about this, like getting to meet some cool people that you've, you know, either looked up to, been a fan of, or just have always wanted to meet. So it's definitely a cool thing. But I'd say 90% of the people I've either been on tour with or have known for a while. So, yeah, getting this many metal musicians in the same room is definitely a recipe for insanity.
Friday night.
Yes, indeed. Friday was a blast, man. And Stryper was one of my favorite bands growing up. I saw them probably my third concert ever was them in an arena in Massachusetts, so to get to see them the first night was a blast. I was trying to film like some songs and all you hear is me singing over it badly, so you know.
So. I remember back, I think it was like 1983 or 84, I was all Slayer, Venom, Diamond, Merciful Fate, and then I went to see Stryper, and I was like, I'm going to see a Christian band, I was all like too metaled out, and they were awesome.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they got the riffs, you know, and Michael's voice is held up, man. He was hitting all the high notes on Friday. It was killer.
So in a couple of years, it'll be 25 years for the band.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any plans for a big anything?
I really hope so. It's tough now. We've been in kind of a hiatus where, you know, John's playing in Anthrax these days, Jason's playing in Overkill, so now we have to rearrange everything around all these other bands. Matt's got Active Defiance going on. So we really want to. It's just going to be a matter of logistics. But we do plan on playing some shows. That would be like the kind of milestone that would make sense to like, all right, if we're going to do it, this is the time to do it. So hopefully we do it.
You guys get categorized as, and throughout the career, but also kind of now, metalcore, thrash, and melodic death. Do you feel like you fit in one better than the other?
We always call ourselves a metal band because of that. Like, I grew up playing in hardcore and punk bands as well as thrash bands. Same with the other guys. A few of them were way more on the metal side. A few of us were more on the punk rock hardcore side. So when we kind of came together, especially in Massachusetts scene at that time, bills would have straight up straight edge bands with death metal bands with like, you know, thrash bands, and it wasn't weird to us. And sometimes the audiences would get a little divided, especially in the early days, you know, but a little violence between the hardcore kids and the metalheads. But we always saw it as natural, and our record collections reflected that. So when we write songs, we just thought that they were just metal, you know, and the subgenres got so ridiculous at one point where there was like six hyphens between everything and then the word metal at the end, so we just were like, we're just a metal band, you know?
I saw a genre that was like post-black metal. Like, what is that?
Yeah, exactly, and it would be like necro-post-folk black metal, you know, it's so crazy. But
ambient funeral doom.
But at the end of the day, exactly, at the end of the day, there's two types of music, man, good and bad, so hopefully we fall on the good side more often than the bad.
That was an excellent explanation. What was the first band to make you love music?
You know, the first band that made me love music was probably Kiss. Like, as far as like what was a band that I gravitated to as opposed to like something my parents were listening to or something like that. It's probably Kiss. And then after that, the first two cassettes I bought were Men at Work, Business as Usual, and Ozzy Blizzard of Oz. So like, I was already going in some weird directions on my own, but I remember like those were the two that I picked. You know, I was like, ah, this is my jam. I still love that, man. Men at Work record, man. That stuff's great. And obviously, Blizzard of Oz will live on as one of the greatest albums of all time. You know, Randy Rhoads is probably my favorite guitar player ever to play, you know, so it was funny that it started in, you know, such a, you know, those two bands don't exactly seem to fit together, but it made sense to the, like, you know, little kid me in the mall, you know.
That's awesome. When I was 14, my first concert was Motorhead and Ozzy with Randy Rhoads.
That was your first concert? That's insane. My first concert was actually Lionel Richie dancing on the ceiling tour with my parents, and it was fucking awesome. Chili E opened up. It was incredible. He danced on the ceiling. He literally, like, cables came down, brought him up to the ceiling. They danced on the ceiling. But the first concert I went to on my own, like, that I wanted to go to was Bon Jovi's Slippery and Wet with Cinderella and Night Songs opening. And I remember I saw Tom Kiefer. They opened with the song Night Songs, and I just looked at him and I was like, that's all I want to do for the rest of my life. And luckily, that's really about all I've done for the rest of my life. So
you have had a couple of nominations for Grammys and some other, like 2003 Metal Hammer, Best Underground Act. Mm-hmm. Those types of awards and nominations, are they important to you?
They weren't really goals or any sort of thing that I judged what we were doing on. But what is cool is to, like, tell my grandmother, like, hey, I got nominated for a Grammy. She's like, oh, so the band's real. You know, as opposed to, like, oh, you play these little shows, isn't that cute? You know, so what I was happy was, you know, for years, the metal category, especially the Grammys, barely had metal in it, you know, for a while. So the year we were nominated, it was like us, Slipknot, you know, King Diamond. It was like real metal. I was like, thank God. And the second year was even more. It was like As They Lay Dying, you know, Lamb of God. I was like, all right, you guys finally know what the word metal means, you know, like, no more Jethro Tull, like, you know, weird, great band, but, like, you know, when they won a metal Grammy, it was very odd, you know, so it was cool, but definitely not something we ever envisioned in any way, shape, or form. We started the band, we wanted to, like, play out of town, you know, much less, like, go to the Grammys, but, and I will tell you, the Grammys were fun, but the ceremony itself, like, the actual, like, live TV thing is, it was so long and boring, and there's no food or drinks allowed. There's no booze. There's no anything. We're like, this party sucks, you know. The after parties, now that's where things got serious.
As a band, and you can talk about this for current bands too, at what point can a band say, I've made it?
You know, if for me, it was when I was like, okay, I don't have to get home immediately from tour and go back to work. Like, you know, it was like, this is now our job. And it did change the way we looked at things. You know, we had to take certain things more seriously. I wanted to kill it every night on the road, so I started being a little more health conscious, more smart about my voice, you know, taking care of it a little bit better. And that's when I thought we made it. And when I say made, at the time, I mean, we didn't have any money in the bank or anything like that, but I didn't have to immediately go back to scooping ice cream like I was before, in between shows and in between tours. So, and that was really, you know, when it kind of like, all right, you know, we're a legit band, you know, we're in the music business now, you know. But unfortunately, with that does come the business side of everything, where before you were writing records because you just wanted to hear these sounds on tape, whereas now we're like, all right, there's a business plan involved, like we have to think about marketing, we have to think about this and that. That didn't affect our songwriting, but it affects everything else around it. You know, you had to make decisions based on a career now, as opposed to, look, we just wanted to party. Which, thank God, we had, like, business managers and all that stuff, because I didn't want to think about our taxes and how to divide, you know, become an LLC and a corporation and all this. I'm glad someone else could figure that out, because we did also just want to party.
Your band seems to stay completely out of controversy. What do you attribute that to?
You know, I just think we've never presented ourselves as anything that we aren't. We've always just been guys who love playing music and hanging out. We all have very varied political beliefs. We all have very varied, like, outlooks on life. So we've never had an agenda as a band. We've just been about, like, they've given me freedom lyrically to write about whatever I'm feeling. So some of that'll seep into it. But I think that's maybe just the fact that we were just like, we're just here to play kick-ass music and have a good time, that kept us kind of out of some of that. And also, we were lucky enough to start our ascent when we were crazy animals and maniacs before the real social media, everyone has a camera phone type of stuff, so we probably just escaped it by not getting it on film.
Do you watch, like, do you look yourself up on YouTube, like, new?
Occasionally, but, like, just more to see if there's anything cool I didn't know existed, or if there was a moment that I would, like, remember that I'm like, I wonder if anyone got footage of, like, the time I played, you know, a Pantera cover with Anthrax or something like that, and then, you know, but there's all, you know, like, usually it's to show other people. They're like, oh, so you're in a band? I'm like, yeah, you know, here we go, check this out. And of course, I always pull up the one where we're playing a festival in front of 70,000 people, you know. I'm like, you didn't need to see us at the bar with 30 people, you know. You don't need to see that one.
What's the biggest sacrifice you make as a musician?
For me, it was and it's why I'm not touring as much now. Is when I had my first kid, I watched her crawl for the first time on Skype in Bulgaria, and it really hit home that, like, man, I'm missing a lot. And then when my second, when my wife was pregnant with my second kid, that's when I kind of was like, I can't do the 8-9 months on the road anymore. I want to be there. I luckily did 20 plus years nonstop and kind of got to see the world over multiple times over and had done, as accomplished way more than I anticipated. So now, right now, it's time to be dad and be home. So
you studied literature at the university. Is that, do you think that's really helpful in your lyric writing?
Probably. You know, it's probably more of a subconscious thing. I love wordplay. I will obsess over. I have a very weird grammatical thing where the sentences have to, like, make sense, and, like, as a, and which is been difficult because I'll have to shove in extra syllables that I didn't probably want to be there melodically, you know, but I'm like, it doesn't make sense, it has to make sense, you know. I also, in the early days, I pulled a lot of lyrical inspirations from, directly from philosophy books, as well as actual, you know, novels and short stories I'd read. Like a song like Crushing Belial was based off a Philip K. Dick book and things like that, and whereas First Noble Truth was inspired by some early Buddhist writings and things like that that I had studied in school. So it definitely, in the early days, it's weird. More recently, it's become way more out of personal experience or just sifting through my own thoughts, I think. But as a springboard in the early days, that those books and philosophy and all that stuff really helped me as a starting point, you know, to find my voice, kind of. So.
Is there anything else you want to talk about the band? And then we'll go to these questions.
Well, just, you know, Shadows Falls, hopefully going to, like I said, get together and do some stuff soon. We've all got a lot of different musical projects. I've recently releasing a band with another project called Downpour, which I'm very excited about. It features some of the guys who used to be Unearth and Kanai, a bunch of other Massachusetts bands. Way more atmospheric, groove-orientated, and it's super heavy, but it's way all over the place, and I'm super happy about it because I got to do things vocally that I probably wouldn't have been able to fit into Shadows Fall without, like, shoehorning it in, you know? So that freedom was a lot of fun. There wasn't an agenda. It was like, we just want to write kick-ass songs. So that's coming out right now, and I'm also playing in a local St. Louis band called Hell Knight that's way more on my punk rock side of things. I get to get my, like, Black Flag on and, like, you know, like, just let it rip. And that stuff, we write songs, like, we'll write 4 songs at a practice and we'll record them the next week, you know, where there's absolutely no agenda. It's awesome. So we have that vibe, but, like, tuned down in the sludge land, but, like, with that same kind of energy and approach. So
you're vegetarian.
I was. Okay. You know, that's vegetarian for 20 plus years. And then my wife moved me to the Midwest, and there was just so much barbecue, and this, things fell apart. My metabolism slowed down when I hit a certain point, and I was like, I'd never gained any weight, and it was half of it was because I was vegetarian and, like, younger. So then now I got to get back on it.
Favorite thing to do in Portland?
Skate Burnside. I'm a big skateboarder, always have, and every time I come, I don't think I'm going to get to there this one because I've been just here for, you know, 8 hours a day at the convention, but that's usually one of the first things I would do when we would play here.
Do they give you a hard time because you're not local?
At least usually gone with people who skate there a lot, and I think the vibe's gotten a little bit less confrontational there. In the early days, it was definitely like, you better get ready, you might get knuckled up, you know, heading down there, you know.
First band that made you love music?
Kiss was one of the big ones, and then the very early days of thrash, you know, I got in, I think Anthrax was actually before Metallica for me. I actually got into Anthrax first. So those were kind of the two real big influences early on.
Best part of being a musician?
For me, it was getting to travel, meet new people, and, like, get inspiration from the other bands. That's what I loved about touring. We learned so much from the bands that we were on tour with, and just kind of get to see aspects of music you never thought about.
Best thing so far at Headbangers Con?
Best thing at Headbangers Con. Honestly, I had the most fun at my panel with Jose from Sirius. We've known each other for a long time. We've done multiple interviews, so we just got up there and just were babbling on like old friends. And I'm sure they probably had to cut us off at some point because we would have just talked for like 3 hours. And I had a blast doing that.
I saw part of that panel. He's really great. I was actually most nervous about meeting him.
Oh, really? Yeah, dude, Jose's so good. Like, and he's the most high-energy dude in the world, and he smokes more herb than anyone I know, so it always blows my mind because he'll just be like, you know, pre-interview, be like, okay, you know, we'll just cover this, we'll cover that, and okay, I'm going to hit record. Are you ready to rock and roll? And I'm like, holy shit, I'm not ready. No, I am not ready. I'm not as ready as you. But such a nice guy. Aww. So, and such a good ambassador for metal. He's done a lot to spread the word and spread the love.
How can fans connect with you on social media?
You know, Instagram and Twitter are the main things. I got off Facebook probably about 7 years ago, and I'm so glad because it was just becoming a really just place of just sadness and confusion. Brian Shadfall is the spot on both Instagram and Twitter, and I've definitely interact. I talk to, you know, write back to people, do all that stuff. You're going to have to see a lot of, like, pictures of my kids and my dog and all that stuff, too, between the music stuff. So, but the music stuff's up there, too. So.
And do you ever find that with social media that there's ever any, it's ever a burden?
Yeah, I think so. Sometimes I have to cut myself off because, you know, I don't want to be someone who wakes up immediately and checks everything. And there's so much misinformation and chaos out there, too, that I think sometimes I can just have to take a step back. But it is a good way. The main thing I love about it is there's certain friends of mine who I've known forever and physically haven't seen in years, but I feel like I know exactly where they're at. Where they know, you know, that's what the coolest thing about it for me is that. And again, I get to show people pictures of how awesome my dog is and how cool my kids are.
Very cool. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
You know, just I wanted to see Headbangers Con grow and grow, and so people need to come out and support this. What Chris 51 has done is an amazing thing. He brought together all these awesome people. The first one's always going to be a learning experience. I think he's learned a lot, we've learned a lot, and I think there's a way to make this into something amazing that can really benefit the whole metal community, and I hope that's something that happens. He put his blood, sweat, tears, and money into this, so if it's something that's going to carry on, people got to come out and support, because this is an amazing thing, and you will get once in a lifetime kind of experiences. Like the fact that you can walk between, you know, Burton from Fear Factory and Tempesta and Dave Ethelson and Jason McMasters, it's just so cool. There's so many cool different types of people, and he had a good variety of newer bands, older bands, legends. Like, it's cool, and I think it will only get better every year.
And vocalists to guitar players,
yeah, and covering it all, exactly. So, and it's been, and then having such cool things like live tattooing and all these different vendors with cool one-of-a-kind things, it's just definitely awesome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.